Amen. Love found a way. Well, good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your wonderful love that found us. Thank you for bringing salvation into our lives, into our families' lives. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful day that we can celebrate our mothers, the mothers in our church, and we pray that you bless them, Lord. We pray that it'll be a day of blessing for them and of rejoicing for the opportunity to have them in our lives. Thank you especially, Lord, for the godly mothers. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us mothers that love you, that seek you, and that want to raise godly seed for you. We pray, Lord, that you'll be amongst us today. We pray that you'll be honored and glorified in everything is said and done. I know I'm not the most indicated person to do this, so I pray that you'll just put your Holy Spirit in me, that it would be an encouragement, and that it would be a blessing for my brethren here today and for our mothers. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was studying to prepare a message for this Sunday, and I don't know if you realize this, but this is a very, very special Mother's Day. See, in our church, we have a lot of mothers that are going to be mothers again pretty soon, including my wife. We're expecting a baby any time now. But not only that, but we have godly mothers also. Not only that, but we have a lot of mothers that are mothers for the first time. And not only that, but some mothers that became mothers in a miraculous way this year. And not only that, but also we have mothers that were mothers for, that are going to be mothers for the first time. I know Danelle doesn't think it's great, but she will eventually. As I was studying for this, it became very obvious to me that God wanted me to preach on the honor of mothers. See, honor and dignity turn out to be very, very important and high on the list in the subject of motherhood in the Bible. Honor. We know about love, and we know about a mother's love, about how often we think about mother's honor. However, the Bible seems to indicate that mother's honor is one of their most valuable assets. Maybe it doesn't feel like a need so much as being loved, yet it might as well rank higher in importance. And I know that we're not very used to this, because honor many a times is associated with men. Men of honor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Honor them which are pastors and deacons, people in authority in our church, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. There's also verses about honoring the king. However, there is much emphasis in the Bible on the motherly honor, or the honor that is due to a mother. A mother's honor. Let's start with the obvious. Children, raise your hand if you're a child today. There's a lot of children. Well, children, you must honor your mother. And you know that. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2 says, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. That is, it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And there's a few verses like that. However, Leviticus 19:3, guess what? Mentions the mother first, as though implying it's just as important to honor your mother as it is to honor your father. Leviticus 19:3 says, ye shall fear every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. I want you to look real quick at Proverbs 31, the obvious passage for this. I'm not going to go through that in too much detail. You say, well, that is talking about a wife. You know, after all, it says, who shall find a virtuous woman? But let me tell you a secret here. It's talking about a mother. In this context, let's read Proverbs 31. And let's read verses 17 and on. She considereth the field, among other things. She is a very, very hard worker, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planted a vineyard. She girded her loins with strength and strengthened her arms. She perceiveth that the merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She laid her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. Keeps going on and on about all the specific things she does and all her hard work. Let's skip through verse 25. It says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. As though saying, all these things, all her hard work, all her strength, her reward is honor. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well, verse 27, to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up. Here's another example of honor. Her children honor her. As soon as they raise up, call her blessed. Her husband also praiseth her. Let's stop there. And read again verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praised her. Now all these things the virtuous woman does, the virtuous mother does, seems to indicate that the culmination, the crown, the reward, the goal, the height of this woman's work is the honor she receives from her family, from others, and ultimately from God. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, let's see verses 30 to 31st. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Another way to see, she'll be honored. In verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The very work of this hardworking mother is her honor. That is her reward. How important it is, the honor of the mothers. Motherly honor. Kind of hard to get used to that phrase. We're used motherly love. Motherly love. Motherly honor might come as a surprise. Now there's a problem, and we all know that. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 8. There is a sad account, a very, very sad account, and reality of womanhood. Something that women have to live their whole lives with. See, men damaged their image as a leader. They destroyed their authority with their own hands when they disobey God in the garden. But women will have to live all their lives with this kind of shameful past, a past that they kind of haven't managed to shake off. They never will. It's always going to be there. We are washed by the blood of the Lamb. We are redeemed, and we have a hope of glory. Yet this past won't be fully erased until we are glorified. Let's read verses 9 through 15. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, by which cometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, not usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Here's where I was getting at. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And then verse 15, there's a glimpse of hope. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in motherhood, childbearing, if they continue in the faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. So yes, there's a sad past, but still the honor of the woman comes with childbearing. Now I'd like to address real quick the mothers here today. I'll do that with all due respect. I understand that we have wise mothers today. Your honor is one of your most valuable assets, but it must be cultivated as well. And it's certainly not by force. Jesus warned against this. When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin to, with shame, to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So how do mothers cultivate this honor? Well, let me refer you to the book of 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings is full of examples of mothers. It puts special emphasis in the mothers of the kings. As it lists the kings and what they did, it also mentions the mothers that raised them. For example, 2 Kings chapter 8, 26, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And you don't have to look up the rest of these. There's going to be a few of them. There's 19, I counted them at least, mentions of the king's mothers in the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings 14:2, Joash was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. I'm going to try to pronounce these. 2 Kings 21:19, Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Meshulameth, the daughter of Harus of Jotbath. 2 Kings 15:2, he was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. 2 Kings 18:2, he was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And then we have the story of two mothers that I want you to look at. Very interesting. We all know the story of Solomon. You must remember when Bathsheba, his mother, came to talk to him. And he sets out a chair. Not only that, but he also bows to her. A sign of extreme honor for his mother. This didn't have to do with anything else except the honor and the name that she had made for herself of godliness and fear of the Lord. The story after that doesn't go very well. But what I wanted you to notice is that so far up till then, this mother, Bathsheba, had made a good name for herself. She feared the Lord, and her mother and her son honor her. And he honored her in a very special way, not only bringing up a chair and having her sit at his right hand with what was one of the highest honors that anybody could get, but also bowing down to her. Verse 19 says, Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself to her and sat down on the throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right hand. What an amazing example of honoring his mother. And then we see the example of another king, also a very, very godly king, King Asa. You must recall the story, but why don't you read it with me? 1 Kings chapter 15. Let's start reading from verse 8. The opposite thing. We have the example of King Asa. So verse 8 says, and Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maacah, I believe, the daughter of Bishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and as did his father. Now, you must realize, up till now, it's been a nightmare in the kingdom. And when we get to 1 Kings chapter 15, it's kind of like a relief, right? And finally, somebody that stand up for what is right and is on the Lord's side. And then, in a very short and brief description, it mentions that something very interesting. Verse 12 says, "And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. And also, Maacah, his mother," which by the way mentions it at the beginning of the chapter and also in 2 Kings, very briefly, just like all the other kings. "Even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook of Kidron. Sorry. But anyway, just wanted to point out these two kings, very, very similar stories. They stood up for what was right. They stood up for God. They did that was what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Both their mothers, by the time it was, they were both grown men. They were both godly kings. And these mothers, now listen to this, these mothers were done raising their kids, raising their sons. But it was their past deeds and actions that made a difference as far as the honor they received. Maacah even if she raised Solomon well, but because of this idol that she made, her honor was destroyed instantly. And it was, how about that? It was her own son that removed her from the position of honor. Now, kids, you should honor your mother. You know that. What is honor? What is honor? Well, honor, and I was thinking about a definition that fit with what the Bible is telling us. See, honor is a position, a high position, an esteem position that she no longer has to work for. In other words, just the fact that you are the kid or the child or the son or the daughter, just that very fact, means that we should honor or have our mothers in high regard, high esteem, because that is right. And mothers, if I could say something to you, you're one of your most valuable assets is the honor that you can instill in your children by being a godly mother. I read the last verses on that regard of Proverbs 31st. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excels them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised, she shall be honored. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praiseth her. It seems like the culmination, the crown, the goal, the height, the reward of this mother's work is the honor she receives from her family, kids and husband, from others, but ultimately from God. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Honor becomes more and more important also as your mother gets older. Maybe right now you're thinking, well, that honor doesn't seem very motherly, very appealing. We like love stories of mothers, and that is a good Mother's Day message as well. But it's also very, very important that we realize the honor of a mother is very, very important. And it gets more and more important as she ages. Let me add, ages beautifully. Say, but mother is old and doesn't understand conversations very well anymore. But what's kids' responsibility? They make sure that you arrange your conversation in such a way that she doesn't even notice. You're there to protect her so she won't feel bad or left out. You say, mother is old. Can't hear very well now. You make sure you speak in such a way, in volume, the conversation is seamlessly and effortlessly enjoyable for her all the way through. You say, but mother is old. Can't see very well now. Then you show her honor, honor, honor. Dedicate all necessary time to describe to her what she needs to see. Honor, honor, honor. I think by now we start to see the importance of motherly honor. But mother has bad attitudes sometimes. Then you show her honor, 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 and hide her under your wing of love and reassure her. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Hearken unto thy father."